Many with us today who are visiting with us, we're thankful that you're here. We're thankful for every opportunity we have to come together as Christians and worship the Lord together. Know that William Cheatham County students had their last day Friday. We know the teachers, I think, are still there. School systems are letting out for the summer, so we have a lot from now to the end of the summer. A lot will be traveling, a lot of our number in and out, so keep them in your prayers. Thankful that Brother Lowell is able to go home to Florida this morning. I know he'll continue to have some in-home help and rehabilitation, so keep him in your prayers as he continues to recover. But we're thankful that he was able to do that this morning. Before we begin our lesson this morning, let's go to our Father in prayer. Lord, we are thankful that we have today, this first day of the week, to worship. We are thankful that we have this time to be around Christians who will encourage us, who will help us, who will love us. We know that many of the people in this room would not know each other if not for the church, if not for this place, this congregation here. We are thankful that men and women out throughout the decades have made sure that there is a congregation in this area that will help serve you and will evangelize, reach out to those who are lost. We're thankful that we have many who are recovering from illness, but we know others who are still in our minds and hearts who are ill. We pray that they be lifted up and that you bring healing to their lives. We know that we are weak and that we sin and we have shortcomings and we miss the mark that you've set for our lives. And we pray you forgive us, that you show us the way of escape from temptation, that we always look to you for guidance and lean not on our own understanding. We pray this morning that you bless us as we continue to worship, as we open your word, and may it penetrate our hearts and our minds so that we may grow in the likeness of your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Over 2,000 years ago, there was a letter written by Paul to Timothy, what we call 2 Timothy, and it was the last in chronological order of the letters that Paul wrote. And this apostle wrote to Timothy, a man who was just an associate of his. Timothy wasn't an apostle. He was just a preacher who Paul was training. And he said something that we have evidence of today, that we see in the Christian world today. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, the apostle Paul said, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." In the Great Commission, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you." So we have a thread. Jesus says to the apostles, "You teach all the people what I taught you." Well, here is Paul telling Timothy, fulfilling that to Timothy, saying, "What you have heard from me," Timothy, who's not an apostle, he's just a preacher. He said, "Now you take that and you teach faithful men those same things." You see the thread of teaching. From Jesus to the apostles to preachers, even today. He said that thread is going to continue really until the Lord comes again. And Jesus said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I'll be with you in every aspect of you teaching others about me, about the gospel." The Apostle Paul was meeting with the Ephesian elders once, and he said, "When I was in Ephesus," he said, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." So there Paul said, he stayed in Ephesus longer than he was in any other city, about 3 years. And he said, when I was in Ephesus, I taught you everything about God. I don't know that Paul meant every single possible fact that somebody could know about God, I gave to you. I don't think that's what he meant. That seems to be a bit unreasonable. It seems like he meant, though, that I didn't hide some aspect of God from you. I didn't teach one thing over and over and over again so that you missed out on some other parts about God. He said, I didn't shrink. I didn't feel intimidated. I didn't leave out parts of God. I taught you everything that you needed to know about God. I bring out those passages to simply say that the Bible has a lot to say about God. The Bible has a lot to say about Jesus. The Bible has a lot to say about the church, a lot to say about people being converted, a lot to say about the cross, a lot to say about everything that involves a Christian life. And preachers take what was taught by Jesus and given to the apostles, and what we try to do is continue what Paul said to Timothy there, is to continue to teach these things and try, like Paul, to teach you the whole counsel of God. It's an over time not to skip anything that is contained in Scripture that is good for us to know concerning our faith. But any preacher will tell you that's hard to do. It's really hard to do. Our minds are limited, our communication skills are limited, all those things. It's just hard to get it all in or feel like that you've taught everything. And we have to remember along those same lines that the Bible is written really as the story of redemption. The word gospel, what does that mean? The good news. It's a message. When you look on the internet at a news article from CNN or from Fox or from the Tennessean or wherever you look, what is it? There's some news, a news item. Here's what you need to know about this thing that happened. Well, they tell you a story in that article. The Bible in 66 books tells us the story of redemption. And it's a big book, collecting all those other books together. It takes a while to decipher and to study, and as Paul told Timothy, that he is supposed to rightly divide the word of truth, which means correctly teach it, to use it the way it was written, to understand how the Bible is composed. So I think it's good from time to time, in an effort just to tell the story simply, is to condense a lot of the verses. Not in a way that takes them out of context, not in a way that manipulates them, but to simply condense a lot of them to tell a brief story of redemption and our response to Christ. Some of you have heard me do a scripture sermon. And the one I'm going to do today is one that starts in Genesis 1 and ends with a response. And those of you that haven't heard these sermons, you think we're going to be here until 5 o'clock. If you're going to do all that. Well, we're not. We're just going to be here the normal amount of time. But what I want to do is just try to show the story. Just trying to show the beginning, the middle, and the end. And understand, help us to have, we always talk about the main point of the sermon. When I use PowerPoint, I'll put that on there. What's the main point today? What's the one sentence that covers the whole sermon? Well, the one main point today, the whole conclusion would be, the Bible is the story of the redemption of man. Man has sinned, and God brings him back. And so hopefully today we'll notice that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days, now he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of the nature, of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, whom is called the Messiah. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that he might be saved through him." It is a trustworthy statement, full of deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught of God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all times those who are sanctified. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But we do see him who was made a little lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and been baptized shall be saved. He who has disbelieved shall be condemned." And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem." Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, Repent, and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." With many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then, those who received his word were baptized. And that day were added about 3,000 souls. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness. He transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all who were baptized into Christ have clothed themselves with Christ. Therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not enter the kingdom of God. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Now for this reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours, and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten the purification from his sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there's no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. Is not the cup a blessing which we bless, a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break, a sharing in the body of Christ? While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said to them, "Take, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. Each one must do just as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. What is the outcome to this? I will pray with the spirit, I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And you will know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for them is that is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. Not for knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the salvation of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. And to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you also stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Or you do not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, so that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take water of life without cost. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now was the acceptable time. Now was the day of salvation. Now why do you delay? Get up. Be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on his name.
anyone needs to come to the Lord this morning, be baptized into Christ, or you need prayers, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing together.